You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
That's right. You are watching the Best Practices Show. My name's Curtis. We also have the beautiful Kirk Barrett. Get ready to have your socks blown off.
Hey guys, you're watching the Best Practices Show. We're taking a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over. I don't know what this guy's talking about. This is the best looking bald guy in all of dentistry. We got my good friend Curtis Marshall from Dental Intel today. Our data scientist, madman, engineer, expert. So you guys are going to love this. So don't miss this. Do me a favor, grab a pen and hit the share button. You're going to absolutely love this. And we're going to be talking about the two deadly killers of your practice. And most of you don't even know what they are, and they're simple little fixes you can guarantee to grow your practice. So you do not want to miss this, and it's something every dentist has to do. So stick around. Now, before we get started, a couple show notes. We are shooting this live on Facebook. So as you're watching this, if you have questions, add them to the feed, and I'll dish them to Curtis right away. And then also, if you're watching them later on, continue to add questions. Curtis is fantastic with social media. He'll be able to get back to you. We want you to get the most out of this when you're watching these and share them with your team. Also, keep sending us suggestions for shows. You're going to see we got a ton of them lined up this week and next week. Some of the best influencers in all of dentistry. We're doing our best to line all these up. Now over 39,000 followers on Facebook and over 150,000 of you on iTunes. And all I can say is thank you. So my guest today, Curtis, my man. So you and I have done many of these. I enjoy this so much because you teach us something. Every time I walk away, I get to learn something new. I love these. I'm kind of like an algorithm geek. I love how all this works. You guys are the scientists behind all the data engineering. So if somebody's watching this and they don't know who Curtis Marshall is or Dental Intel, give us a little background on who you are and what you do, and then we're going to jump into the topic.
Oh, well, Kirk, yeah, seriously, the highlight of my month is being able to join up with you, and I would so wish that we were neighbors. The neighborhood would be in trouble if we were neighbors. But like you said, my name's Curtis Marshall. Been in the dental industry for just over a decade now. Absolutely love it. My family, my in-laws, everybody, we're all dental geeks. In fact, we have a safe word. If there's too much dental being said, then a non-dental family member can say Oklahoma, which means stop talking dentistry.
Right.
So myself, absolutely love it. Eat, breathe, sleep, drink it, the whole bit. Dental Intel, we are the leaders in providing actionable data to help offices grow. In fact, we make it so that offices know exactly what to do today instead of knowing what happened in the past.
Right.
That's some of the things we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about leading and lagging indicators, which is something you've helped me understand in the data, you know, data mining business. But you guys now have done over 4,000 installs. Is that true, or where are you guys at?
We're actually now pushing close to six.
So you're at 6,000. So you're in over 6,000 offices. And basically what you guys do is you're an app. You plug it into your computers. It works with most software companies. You guys mine the data. You make it simple and actionable. And now team members can look it on their phones. We always joke, Ritter and Ramsey, love those guys. But their team members, when they sit in a morning huddle, they're all looking at phones, not texting each other, but they're all like looking at their phones, looking at their leading and lagging indicators. So let's just define that real quick, because a lot of dentists look at data, but they don't really understand the difference between leading and lagging indicators. Can you give us a little brief definition on that?
Yeah. So, I mean, if we'd like to think about it as a car, right? So a leading indicator is you saying, hey, my RPMs right now on my dashboard, right? A leading indicator saying my RPMs right now are at 4,000. My speed limit is 60 miles per hour. Those are all leading indicators. A lagging indicator would be saying you've gone 40,000 miles so far.
Right.
Your car is now gone 200,000. Something that's already happened that you can't change, right? Mm-hmm. So very similar in the dental industry, we focus really on two, maybe three numbers: production, collections, and new patients. Some offices really focus on that, but depending on what, at least three. These are all lagging indicators. They are all telling us what happened in the past.
Yeah.
Don't focus on leading in the dental offices.
Right. And when you focus on leading indicators, they drive behavior, which improves results immediately. And they're actually great influencers to predict the future quite a bit. And so we're going to be talking about two of those leading indicators here that are the silent killers. So give it to us. So what are the two deadly killers in your practice? Wait, let's talk about why this is a big problem.
Yeah, sure.
And the deadline thing before we give them the actual two deadly killers. So why is this a problem?
Well, a deadly killer is something that you don't really know is happening, right? So once again, we're focusing on production and collections. Well, what makes up production? We've talked about this in the past. There's two small, easy things to improve to increase production. It's either more people or more production on those people.
Right.
If we know that one of these two things we can increase, and which one is it? It's a lot easier for our team members. It's a lot easier as an owner to say, all right, team, we got really good visits, but we need to do better at presenting treatment, or we need to do better at increasing our fees, or we need to do better at doing more production on those visits.
Right.
Vice versa, we need more people in the office. Does that mean new patients? Maybe. Maybe it means getting our existing patients back in, but we need more visits in the office. We need more butts in the chair.
Right.
So that's the killer, is that we don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that the matter is if we want to improve, all human performance is resulted to a deadline. No matter who you are, I don't care how great or how good looking or how wonderful, how many A's you got in school, how well your dental office is running, we all perform to deadlines. There's a theory out there.
Parkinson's law. Now I'm going to totally screw this up and just not say it the right way. But the essence of Parkinson's law was this: is all tasks will expand to the time you give it. So for instance, if any of you went to college, you know, if you had the whole semester to study for a test, you studied when? Like,
well, if you have the whole time to study for the test and the test is on December 1st,
yeah,
you're going to be studying, well, at least myself. Everyone's still a little bit different. The deadline is, though, December 1st.
Yes.
Everyone knows December 1st is it.
Yeah.
So do I personally? I'm studying on November 30th.
Right.
What about you?
I'm doing it the night before also. So, you know, and sometimes it was even the morning before. Like, just so we take all the time that's allowed up to it. Now, you think about this with kids. Even in dental school, if you're a dentist watching this, you know this is true. When you give a dental student 3 hours to do an amalgam, guess how long they take to do the amalgam? They take all 3 hours, every minute of it. And so the whole point is this, is that if you don't have a deadline, you're not enforcing behaviors, you know? And if people, like, even if planes didn't have deadlines and when they were going to take off, people would just show up whenever they could and it wouldn't create any consistency. Now, the key here is this, and Curtis, you're going to take us through this. Building a dental practice is actually quite predictable. It's very easy to do if you're focused on the right things. And these two deadly killers happen in a practice where people are working hard and they go, what's going on? It's not getting any better. These two things are the hidden killers. What are they?
Okay, so the first one is pretty basic and simple. We've talked about this a little bit in the past, but it's now breaking down to make it even easier. Every person in your office, every patient, must have one of two things. Okay?
Right.
The thing that this really revolves around is they either must have a future appointment. So on your Dentrix, on your EagleSoft, on your Open Dental, on your Soft Dental, I don't care whatever system you're using, or on your paper, they must have an appointment on that day, because then what are we going to do? We're going to send out reminders. We're going to give them a call. There's an action, a deadline, if they have a future appointment.
Right.
The problem is right now is if they don't have a future appointment, what typically happens?
They're left to chance and nothing happens. Or sometimes we follow up with them, sometimes we don't. The key here is this, is if you're building a business, one of the things you have to do is you got to retain patients and your practice has to grow. Retaining patients involves making sure that they have a future appointment and everything is geared towards that deadline. The other thing too, I can go on for hours on this, but if you're even looking to transition as a dentist later on in your career, you know this, somebody's going to come in and value your practice and they're going to be looking at how many real patients you have. And people are going to be pulling those charts, you know, hopefully you don't have paper charts anymore, but they're going to pull some of those charts and they're going to go, half these people are dead. Half these people don't even live here. So you have to have real patients built within the practice. So it's a built-in retention system. Another piece to this that you've taught me about is a lot of new patients come into a practice and they're not tethered with a hygiene appointment. So they come in with restorative needs, they call you as a patient, and then, you know, you do a case presentation on them, you do whatever, and then you're just stalking them. Well, they're not tethered to the practice, and then these patients disappear. So it's critically important that every patient has to have one of two things, one of them being a future appointment. What's the second one?
The second one is very similar, right? So, like you mentioned, what we do right in the past is we say, hey, Janet, or hey, Steve, up front, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I like you to do is I like you to get those patients who don't have an appointment. I like you to get them back on the schedule.
Right.
Is there a deadline?
No, it's just a request.
All I said was I like to get them back on the schedule. Mm-hmm. So the second thing for a deadline, every patient must have either a future appointment or a specific day that you're going to follow up with them.
Okay. Now classify that, like give us an example of a specific follow-up and how you would do that as a team member. Because I know you guys put this in Dental Intel. You have a tracker on this, but give us an example of that.
Yeah. So I used to be in an office, right? I was a treatment coordinator. By the way, I was the number one treatment coordinator in all of the United States.
Obviously. Of course, you should be.
Right?
Right.
So when I would present, so if somebody would say I presented, let's say, two crowns and they need to talk to their spouse, very common excuse, right?
Right.
Okay, you need to talk to your spouse. Well, I'll give you a call next week. Great. I write down, call next week. Okay, great. Next week comes on Monday. I see that note. Maybe I see a sticky note on my computer. Or maybe I see it on my desk, wherever it might be. Like, Monday's really busy. I'll call tomorrow. Because I told them I'd call next week, right? Goes on and on and on. I'm like, you know what? They're going to be okay. They'll just give me a call later, because I didn't have a specific day to call them. They are not expecting my call on a certain day, and I'm not going to call them on a certain day.
Mm-hmm.
So now that patient is left to the wind, and now they're going to call me back when? They're going to call me back when they have a toothache.
Right.
What happened here? Not only did we not get that patient back in or their butt in the chair in order to get more dentistry done for our doctor, right? But more importantly, the patient care is hurting. Mm-hmm. If we don't have a future appointment and or a follow-up, a specific day to follow up with that patient, we are not taking good care of our patients. It's not just for the production and the practice. We are creating more pain for those patients out there.
Yeah, you also think about the amount of time that you spend calling these patients just whenever you can, following up. And you're spending hundreds of hours just outgoing phone calls and by chance trying to get caught up with these people. And also, too, you're not creating the consistent experience to grow a practice. So it's left on a whim, on a sticky note a lot of times, and on a computer. So when you have a system for follow-up, you can actually – and a lot of times, Curtis, you guys just – are you a big – proponent of asking the patient when is a good time to follow up and actually putting it in the schedule?
So that's a little bit more consulting.
Right.
As far as numbers go, I'm going to give you two thoughts here. Number one is we're seeing that only 20% of the time people pick up the phone. So we're also tracking outbound phone calls, right? So we're tracking to say, hey, how many times are you calling? How many times are they answering? And how many times are you scheduling? Right.
Okay. So the other side. So that means 80% of these phone calls are unanswered.
Unanswered. So out of every 100 phone calls you make, there's only 20 patients even picking up the phone to possibly schedule.
Right.
That's a lot of waste of time.
Yep.
Once again, number one killer is patients are leaving without an appointment. Number two is that scheduling an appointment. Now, if I don't know you're going to call as a patient, then I'm not expecting a phone call, hence I'm not going to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you tell me, hey, I'm going to call you on Thursday in the afternoon, right? Is that a good time for you? Oh, you know what? Thursdays are not a good time. You know, I'm in class. I'm working. Don't call me then. Call me on Wednesday morning. Guess what just happened to my call percentage from 20%? When we're now knowing when to call because there's a verbal agreement and we're communicating, there's a follow-up, a deadline, right?
Right.
That increases, it flip-flops. They're answering now 80% of the time because there is a deadline. Human performance, we all perform to deadlines.
That's fantastic. That's a huge change in percentages and effectiveness when you're doing that. And you got a deadline.
The exact verbiage, that there's a lot of good people who have exact verbiage, but I do know that when you call a patient and they're not expecting it, mm-hmm. or you're just saying, I'm going to call you sometime in the future, they're only picking up 20% of the time.
Well, I'm also going to decline when you're trying to sell me something. Do you know what I mean? But if you're following up with me on something specific and I've given you permission to call me, I mean, it's kind of and let's talk about the real essence of this. This is what we're talking about when we call it a relationship-based practice, is we're assuming that you're not a transactional practice. It's more relational, where you know these people, you know, and this isn't the first time that you've met them or whatever. In some cases, it might be. I want you to talk about the repercussions of this, because you guys track reappointment and pre-appointment, but one of the more important factors, KPIs, is the number of pre-appointed patients. Now, that's a pretty good indicator of how healthy the practice is, right? What's pre-appointed? Let's talk about the definition first, right? Okay.
Definition on these two things. We've always tracked reappointment.
Okay.
Reappointment is saying, how well did you schedule Sally when she was in the office yesterday? Did you or did you not schedule her, right? So that's happened in the past, right? So I saw 10 patients in hygiene. I reappointed 9 of them, 90% reappointment. They left with an appointment. Pre-appointment is saying, as of today, how many of those patients have a future appointment?
Right.
Oftentimes, we think, oh, it should still be 90%. It's not. It goes down because people break appointments and don't reschedule.
Yeah.
Or whatever other reason, something happens. Maybe you go on vacation and you say, hey, doctor's going on vacation. We need to reschedule you. Oh, call me later. Whatever the situation might be, they now don't have an appointment. Pre-appointment is saying how often. This number shocks people. National average of pre-appointment percentage of all patients in your practice, we think is 60, 70, 80. Sometimes people say, oh, we're 90%. Everybody reschedules. The truth of the matter is, Kirk, 30 to 40% is the average.
No, come on.
Not
my practice, everyone would say, right? 30 to 40%. Now, let's think about that. That means at over 6,000 installs that you guys have, 6,000 dental practices, 30 to 40% of all of the patients that these dentists have actually have a future appointment, which means you're leaving millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars on the table and opportunities to help patients get better care when more than half of your practice doesn't have an appointment.
And it's not just those dollars, those patients, they don't understand the importance of dental. Like right. We do, you and I, we hit our 6 months appointments on track, on target, because we understand the importance of dental. The public doesn't understand that.
Right. Now let's boil this down for somebody that's a user of Dental Intel or just metrics. And we're talking about leading indicators. Now, here's an example. So if you're looking at pre-appointment and you go, no, we're not. Oh my gosh, we are 35% in pre-appointment. If you go to 40%, and then to 45% in pre-appointment, then to 50%, then to 52% in pre-appointment, you now have what's called a capacity issue. You're going to go to the doctor and go, I have nowhere to put these people. Like, we are jam-packed solid. The other thing that you're going to find is you're probably going to be booking higher quality patients too, because these are the people that are making and keeping appointments in this whole thing. But you know, when you use this data, Curtis, because I'm just thinking as somebody that might be watching this, if I find out what the two deadly killers are and I try to improve them, we're going to see these numbers go up gradually, and it's going to significantly change the health of the practice, right?
So not just a little bit. The significant part of that phrase you just mentioned is so true. It changes not only patient care, but also team performance. Team members are happier. They are getting more patients to accept treatment. They're leaving, you know, they're sticking after a little bit longer just to say goodbye to patients. They're not just jetting out as soon as the whistle blows, right? The change of dynamic within dental offices is significant on both patient care and team performance.
Right. And let's boil this down even more in a simple fashion. Could it be this simple that you could just say, hey, look, every patient needs two things. Like, check the box here. I want every patient leaving with this or this. Could you say that?
Absolutely. And those two things, they either left with an appointment or there's a specific day that they know and we know what day we're following up with them.
Right.
So the easiest way to track this is one simple number. So there's two things that we want. We want to start being aware of this, a leading indicator, something that we can get every day in our morning huddle, are the number of unscheduled patients.
Okay.
So the number of unscheduled patients are three things total. Number one, it's active patients that left the office without an appointment, new patients that left without an appointment, and broken appointments that did not reschedule. All those three things combined are unscheduled patients.
Okay, and give us some perspective on numbers, what these are. What's the reality behind these three numbers that typical dentists see when they install this?
So typically, we're seeing double digits on a daily basis, double digits happening of unscheduled patients, right? That's the big key that we're seeing here. And we're seeing a little bit of commotion behind us because one of my team members, his wife's about ready to have a baby. So he just ran out of here because he's really excited.
That's awesome.
So we're going to have a new team member here. But those three things together, now I can see not just the number of 12, of 18 patients who left yesterday without an appointment, but what I'm able to now say is I can look at those patients' names and say, all right, what happened to Mary? Why did she not reschedule? And rather than giving an excuse or rather than saying, how dare you not reschedule Mary? It's what happened.
Right.
If I know what happened, I can easily change.
Right.
That's key.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've said this a million times when you and I are on. Data removes all emotion. So you don't get emotional when you're looking at data. You can probably get upset the first time you look at it. But the cool part is that when you have data and you're making progress, everybody's happy in a practice. You can also see the net end result is that the practice gets healthier in this whole thing. So you have to have these numbers when you're taking a look at a practice. Now, you guys have the capabilities. I'm asking you this, but I'm asking you this rhetorically because I already know the answer to this. You can plug this in and even in 5 minutes, you can tell me how many patients are not scheduled in the active patients, new patients, and broken appointments, like literally 5 minutes.
We can not only tell you how many of all your patients, but how many yesterday or last week left, and the names, not just the number, because the number doesn't help us. If I really want to improve, I need to know the patients so that I can figure out why it happened so that I can change. If I don't know why, I'm just going to say, let's do better.
Right. Now, I got to ask you this question, too, because I got this question even last, it was 2 weeks ago. Somebody said, okay, well, and you guys play nice with all the software companies, so I don't want you to throw them under the bus. But why wouldn't my computer system, which is one of the larger softwares, not just tell me this information right away? Why do I need an app that's going to give me this information and deliver it?
Well, that's a good question. Why don't the practice management softwares out there tell us who left yesterday without an appointment?
Why not? Like, everybody knows it's critically important, but why don't the major software companies do that?
It's not a focus. The practice management software is to increase, it's a clinical software. Okay. So what it's doing is it's a database to enter in your treatment. It's a database to enter in, hey, when is their next appointment? It's a database to put in those things. But there's not reporting of telling you what to do. It's just telling you what has happened in the past. Right. That's why there are reports that you can pull. And there's also other dashboards that you can show a pretty report. But who cares about what happened in the past? Because I can't change it.
Right.
Once again, I keep bringing this up. Ricky Bobby, the I want to go fast, the car race driver, right?
Yeah.
Car driver. When he's blindfolded, he was able to drive his car. He was able to, he wrecked a whole bunch of things, but he was able to drive his car forward.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as he stopped and he ran into a house, he took his blindfold off. He could see exactly what happened, right? He knew what happened in the past.
Right.
The cops are about ready to come get him. The lights are on. They're going to come get him. And what does he do? He puts his blindfold right back on. And his dad says, "No, dummy, you take that off. You got to see where you're going."
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what we do, though. We take the blindfold off. We look behind us. Yep, that's what we did.
Right.
Back on, and let's do better. What I want to know what to do today, not just do better. I want to avoid those pitfalls. And the two big pitfalls we're talking about today, patients leaving without an appointment, and making sure every single person, if they don't have an appointment, has a deadline of when we are going to call them.
Right. And I think everybody watching this would totally agree. Working harder is not the solution for every problem. I love working hard. We all love working hard. It's the truth of it. The future in dentistry is you got to work smart. You got to know what you're doing, because you can spend hundreds of hours in your dental practice compensating for such poor management inside without having, you know, a system in place for these two killers. Curtis, I'm so crazy grateful for all the time that we have together. Now, before we go, I want to just talk about the snapshot, because I'm a big fan of this. I always recommend it. You know, this is free. You guys actually do a simple little snapshot where you plug it in the computer. It takes 5 minutes, and then it'll show you all of this on a simple little dashboard. Can you talk about what this is and how does it work?
Yeah. So as long as you have a Dentrix EagleSoft Open Dental, you go ahead and click this link right below, and then you fill out all that information. We will automatically gather your data within 5 minutes and be able to show you exactly what percentage, because there's a lot of different things we could look at, but really what we want to be looking at based off of this conversation today is, what is your pre-appointment percentage? Right. Out of your active patients you've seen last 18 months, we're going to show you what that number is and then give you a suggestion on how to improve it. You don't have to even buy dental intel. It's a free thing that you could have. Yeah. And one thing that's been very powerful in working with you and your team.
That's awesome. We love it. It saves us hundreds of hours from digging in there ourselves and trying to figure all this stuff out. So check it out. Now, if you're listening on iTunes, it's actdental.com/snapshot. And then if we want more information about Dental Intel, where do we find that, Curtis?
Well, you can simply just text me. Really, Kirk, that's the easiest way to come out, and I'll send them a link if they want to. My cell is 801-380-7070. Try to keep it during business hours, but you can text me after hours. I don't care.
This guy is a mad texter too. So, cool, buddy. I really appreciate this. Love all of our conversations. You and I are going to have many of these on all the things that we're learning in Dental Intel and the data that helps so many dentists. And stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for watching. Really appreciate this. If you enjoyed today, just do us a huge favor. Hit the share button and share this with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions for shows that you want to see. Until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day.